Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast. Lights, camera, action. I'm not going to redo that intro.
Okay.
All right.
I don't even remember how we started.
I don't know either. All right. The Month of Movies podcast is myself and my brother Jason.
Yeah. And I just realized I'm drinking out of a cup of the movie I saw this month.
I'm not. I don't have any water. Oh, well. But yeah, each month we talk about the movies that we watched for a certain month. For instance, this is the August episode, so we're talking about old movies just on August. But
2014.
2014, yes. It wasn't 10 years ago.
Well, we hope to do this next year,
too, yeah.
But we won't have the same goal, obviously.
No, but my goal is to watch the 52 best movies of all time, according to That's Entertainment.
And I'm watching 50 movies out of a box set from Warner Brothers of their 50 best movies, which comes out to be about a movie a week.
Yeah, also mine, 52.
For Scott as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about the first movie we saw, which
we both saw
because it came out
on the first.
On the first. So.
Well, I don't think it came out on the first, but that's when we saw it.
I don't know.
Because I think it came out on Thursday and we saw it Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
but it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
So in case people don't know, it's a Marvel movie, comic book movie about a bunch of outlaws or kind of like outsiders.
Yeah, that, like the misfits.
Yeah, like misfits that get together in space, and I kind of describe them as like a low budget Avengers in space.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
I mean, there's like an assassin, bounty hunter, like, you know, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because it's one of those movies that was based off the comic books that I bet 90-some% has never even heard of that comic book. I didn't know about it until they said they're making this movie. I'm like, what? And then I did a little bit of research and saw that this comic's been around since the 80s or something like that.
I think I've seen it in the 70s. Yeah. But I mean, it's like Avengers where...
Meanwhile, the current group might not have been the original group.
Yeah, I want to say maybe they've been, since the early 2000s,
but 90s. I feel like Star-Lord has been around for a while, at least.
I think he's been around since, like, Gamora and...
Yeah.
Drax.
But yeah, there's a giant talking tree that says "I am Groot," and then there's a raccoon.
Yeah.
Rocket.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very weird. I guess it's not that weird.
Which is funny, because in the comics, like if anyone ever like calls him a raccoon, he will like threaten to kill you. He's like, "Do not call me raccoon."
And in this movie, he didn't even know what a raccoon was.
Yeah.
He just got mad when people called him vermin. Which
vermin? Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I think I got my hopes up too high.
Yeah.
Because I was like really, really, really excited for this movie. And then I saw it and I'm like, it was entertaining, but it didn't blow me away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was entertained the entire time, but I didn't get like super excited while watching it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where Winter Soldier,
yes.
I was like excited that whole movie.
Yeah.
And then again, I probably had my hopes not as high for that one
because mm-hmm.
I didn't care too much for the first Captain America movie. But I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy had entertaining parts. I mean, like some of the conversations were hilarious.
Yeah.
And just the reaction to each other, just because they were a group of random people brought together.
Mm-hmm.
There's like Rocket and Groot were the only two that knew each other at the start of the movie. And then like everyone kind of pieced together after. And so it was kind of entertaining to see them get work together and stuff like that.
Yeah, I wasn't as hyped for it. I mean, I was excited that it was going to be a movie, but I wasn't expecting it to be great or anything.
Well, I wasn't either until I started seeing the trailers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the first trailer, I was excited. And then every trailer after that, I'm like, oh, I kind of like figured what the movie was going to kind of be like. And it was. But I think the main thing that I realized was a lot of the time, I like a lot of backstory. I like a lot of deep plot.
Yeah.
Like I love when plots just get super deep. And this was basically the villain has, there's something that the villain wants to get, so he's powerful, and then they have to stop him. It's literally a cartoon for kids, like as the plot, like why does a Robotnik want to take over the world? He just wants power. And then Sonic has to stop him. It's like, and that's kind of like, I'm like, there was nothing really deep about the story. mean, it was fun. It was like, it seemed like it was,
right.
It was very, like, all the action was like on the level. There wasn't anything deeper below the surface.
Right.
Is what I realized.
It looked like there was a lot of foreshadowing to, like, backstories mm-hmm. for the sequel.
Yeah.
Because, like, when Rocket took off his shirt, like, it showed all the, like, experimentation on the back.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that looked like it was foreshadowing. And then they didn't talk about it at all.
Oh, I think it was mainly there for, like, so that, you know, he's a badass, but he's
vulnerable
and stuff like that. And then that's why Star-Lord was, like, looking at him and was like, oh, wow, he's been through some shit.
He said that he had a lot of experiments on him and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm hoping that some of that backstory happens.
Yeah, possibly.
Since there is a sequel coming.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still gave it an 8.5 because I thought it was very entertaining and I didn't regret seeing it. I enjoy it and I would recommend it to people, but it wasn't like amazing.
I gave it a 7.5. It was good. It was fun. It was fine. I know a lot of people that saw it, like even Matt and Jennifer saw it. And they don't go to movies much at all. They said the last Marvel movie they saw was Iron Man.
Yeah.
and they saw it and like, we really liked it. We wanted to see it again. I'm like, really? I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something.
I don't know.
But yeah. It was good though. I mean, it was fine. 7.5, yeah. I'll do one next. Next movie I watched was Wanderlust. It's a comedy movie about, with Paul Rudd. And Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, the nudist colony one.
Not really.
Well, the one with the Earth type. Like,
yeah, they're
bunch of hippies.
Yeah, it's a comedy movie where Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston, they move into New York, and immediately they lose their jobs. So they're like, oh, we need to find a place to live, and they end up going to go stay with his brother, and they hate it there. But on the way there, they somehow come across this resort. Not resort. It's kind of like a resort, like cabin type camp place where all these people are like sort of.
Resort is basically a summer camp for adults.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like they're all like very hippie-ish and they live freely and express themselves and all that other stuff. And
I'm guessing there were pot references.
No, I don't. There was one drug reference, but actually not really a lot. No, it was surprising. But it had a lot of people, like a lot of people from the state, like Ken Marino was in it. David Wayne? Mm-hmm. He wrote it with Ken Marino, I believe. Joel Trulio was in it. The one guy, I can't remember his name, but he was in the 10 as Jesus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The girl from Watchmen and Children's Hospital, whatever. I fucking suck at names. But yeah, it had a lot of potential to be funny. It just didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask. I'm like, that's kind of funny that you would watch that movie.
Well, I was excited because a lot of the writers and actors in it were good. But although...
seems like the kind of movie I would watch.
Alan Alda was in it, and he was probably the best character.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, he's in a little like rascal. And he's like, oh, yeah, years ago, we bought this land with me. And, like, and he listed off like 10 people. But every time like someone mentions something, he's like, oh yeah, it was me and Harvey Wencher and Abigail, blah blah blah, and whatever. I just make up names, but like he just goes on. Everyone's like, oh god, he's gonna do this again. Like, and every time like someone mentioned when they first bought the land, he just fucking rattles off all these names to himself. It was funny. But I don't know. It wasn't horrible, but I wouldn't recommend it. I didn't laugh. I maybe laughed once. But the plot was very loosely there, and it just seemed to come out of nowhere. To like the conflict at the end, and I don't know. I gave it about a 5. So yeah.
I watched this. The next movie was the first one I watched out of my box set for the month, which was Lethal Weapon. And
I don't know if I've ever watched the first one.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it was a decent movie. I know, I'm sure there's like a lot of people who loved it, but it seemed very basic. It's like, oh, his daughter gets kidnapped. We gotta save, like, but we're cops and they're bad guys. And yeah. And it's like, oh, we're teaming you up with this guy. He's a loose cannon. You know, like, it was like, I don't know, very buddy cop type. And it's like,
yeah,
but, you know, Mel Gibson was like the undercover cop guy who did the way he wanted to do things. Yeah.
But then again, that might have been one of the first like really big buddy cop movies.
Right. I believe it. Like that was probably like, you know, the leading of all of those other ones and stuff.
Just the National Lampoon had a loaded weapon.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, it was good. I don't think I've saw it before. And to me, it was very average. I mean, it was entertaining, so I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah.
But it didn't make me want to run out and watch the other ones like Dirty Harry did, you know?
Yeah. The next movie I watched was the first movie of this month that was on my list was The Big Sleep with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall.
Every time you say Big Sleep, I keep thinking of The Big Chill.
But it's Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and I watched this a day before Lauren Bacall died.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
You did it.
I might have, but also at the same time, she was like, what, 90, 89, 90, somewhere in there. But it's Humphrey Bogart is a detective, because that's what movies were like back then. Yes, and
Humphrey Bogart did.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it was, I feel stupid. I would have to watch it again because I don't know. People were maybe a lot smarter back then, and because we have all ADD and stuff, mm-hmm. and they probably wrote every single line to be important, and I must have missed something because like, oh yeah, this person, and they always reference people that you never see, so it's like, oh yeah, Jim Tryon, like, oh, he mentions like two more times, like, wait, which one is he? We don't see him. He's like, oh, and then it's like, yeah, but anyways, he gets hired. This guy hires him because his daughter is involved with something and she's being blackmailed, and next thing you know, like, all this other crazy shit's happening and there's a body that ends up somewhere and like they're being blackmailed and this and this and this, and it's like all this other crazy shit, and he ends up like falling in love with the daughter of the guy and all other stuff, and it gets pretty crazy with stuff because, like I said, I lost track of what was going on. And unfortunately, a lot of the women actors back then, they all look the same to me. They all have like the same big eyes and the same kind of hair. Because there's three actresses in this movie that I eventually figured out they weren't the same person. Because two of them were sisters, so that made them, they had to make sure they looked the same, and I was like, oh god damn. But I mean, it was cool. Obviously the whole style of the movie was awesome and stuff, but I just got lost too fast. And yeah, but I gave it about a 6. So, I mean, it was decent. I would, like I said, I'd have to watch it again to get it all in, or at least find a Cliff Notes version of that movie. So, yeah, I gave it about a 6.
The next movie I saw is The Cup I'm Drinking, Spider-Man 2. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2.
It's so weird, like, because the Amazing Spider-Man, just in general, the reboot.
Yeah.
It's like, why was this needed? And people are mad and all this stuff. But I feel like the Amazing Spider-Man, to me, visually, and like, to me, the way Spider-Man acts in the cast and all that stuff, mm-hmm. I think they did a much better job.
Yeah.
It's still very basic Spider-Man, it seems.
I think maybe it would, like, because, like, now I saw the first one.
Yeah.
But I think it's
And more... I like it better than the first, you know, the first Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man okay. 1, to me, was better than Spider-Man.
Okay. But I'm thinking, like, maybe now it's, like, these versions of the Spider-Man movies are, like, the versions of the comics now, where it's, like, more of how he is, and maybe mm-hmm. the Peter Parker from, like, the 60s and 70s was what the Raimi movies were like. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know, but... It's funny because there's a lot of people, I don't know, was there a lot of people who didn't like the second movie?
Yeah, a lot of people.
I actually liked it. I mean, I can't tell you if I liked it. I think I did like it better than Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Okay.
I was afraid at first because when I saw commercials and stuff, I'm like, we have way too many people in this movie. And it's going to have the whole Spider-Man 3 thing. We have way too many people and you're trying to fit them in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it worked, except this isn't really a spoiler at all. But because if people saw leaked images on the internet or anything, it's not really a spoiler. but Paul Giamatti, is that his name?
Yep.
Was cast as quote unquote the Rhino.
Yeah.
Which is the spoiler is that he is Rhino.
Yeah.
So that's not really a spoiler. But he's the thug and stuff, just like a normal person at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they start the movie with him and then blah, blah, blah. And then he shows up at the very end as Rhino.
Okay.
And then it leads into, like, the next movie that they're going to do.
Sinister Six. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like he's not really part of the movie, but he's in it.
Okay.
So the fact that everyone's like, oh, he's Rhino in this movie. I'm like, that's kind of a spoiler.
Yeah.
So that's but that's not, I mean, there's obviously spoilers in the movie. Because he goes more into his dad's past. I just wanted to say that, like, just knowing that he is Rhino was a spoiler.
Okay.
But it's like, I already knew that before the movie was even released.
Yeah.
So with that being said, like, having Electro as the main villain, and then they have, like, the evolution of Harry Osborn into the Green Goblin, or whatever he is, the Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it worked in this case, and I think it did a really good job, and it was very action-packed, and I don't know much about Electro, but I'm assuming he's nothing like this in the comic books.
I don't know a lot about Electro either, but
it was actually pretty awesome in the movie.
Okay.
I must say. And I fucking love Emma Stone.
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed the movie. I gave it a 7.5.
Right.
I mean, yeah. And I would watch it again. I'm excited. Even though I heard Spider-Man 3 got pushed way back.
Really?
Because they're doing that Sinister Six.
Oh, okay.
And then they're doing the Venom Carnage movie. and then Amazing Spider-Man 3. So there's going to be two other Spider-Man movies before the third Spider-Man
movie. They can't. Like, the only way...
I think it's like 2017 is the time slated for
Jesus.
The third. I think that's what it is, the third Spider-Man movie.
The only way they can make the Carnage movie is if it's an R, or at least a hard PG-13.
Especially if it is Venom and Carnage.
Yeah. Because
they just say it's Venom Carnage.
To be fair,
there's no slash.
I'll say, well, there was a comic called Venom Carnage.
I know, overall, but that was both of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, they can get away with a lot of stuff nowadays, because, I mean, a lot of shit that happened in Captain America 2 was PG-13, and, like, a guy got kicked into, like, a turbine engine. I mean, fuck. So, I'm like, so, as long as Carnage, like, kills...
I was wrong, 2018.
If Carnage kills a lot of people and just don't show blood or something, it might work. But, I don't know. Carnage, I don't know. But, oh...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I gave it a 6.5. And I do, seven and a half, 6.5, Lethal Weapon. But I do like the fact that you could tell during this movie they were afraid that they were putting too many people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that was the big downside to Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Because
they were going to start introducing characters like Mary Jane and stuff like that, and they cut that out.
Okay.
Because they're like, this is going to be way too much going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, doesn't fit with the plot of the movie and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Electro was a huge part of the movie. But yeah, I saw that one. And then the next movie I saw with you.
Oh.
So I don't know if you saw anything before
that. I did. I saw at least one more. The next movie I watched was Lovely Bones.
Lovely Boners.
That's still one of my favorite 30 Rock, like, fake porn movies, Lovely Boners.
Because they're so lovely.
So... Yeah, okay, so
you read the book for this, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought
I have the book, and I never got around to reading it yet.
Is this about a girl who went missing or something, or they find? Yeah.
Well, here
I don't know anything about it.
The best part about the movie is something I can't say because it's kind of a spoiler. But
it's like a mystery, like what happened to this girl.
Nah, I was hoping it was more of a mystery,
but it's like a love story.
Nah, kind of. All right. What happens is this girl. Like, right away, she's like, this is how I died. It's like American Pie. Not American Pie.
American Beauty. This is how I fucked a pie.
Yeah, but it's about a girl who's like, this is how I died. And it basically, it leads up to her, like, with her and her family. And, you know, so that just being family together. And she ends up getting, kind of kidnapped and killed by... the neighbor, and they show you who it is right away. So, yeah.
There's no mystery.
So there's no mystery involved. But then they realize she's missing, and Mark Wahlberg is trying to figure it out what's happened to her. And he's like, he's helping the cops, and like, oh, like trying to help the cops, like, oh, this is my daughter's missing. Now, I thought that was gonna be like a majority of the movie. Half the movie is spent in the sort of in limbo with her just like just walking around, like sort of figuring out
what happened to her.
What happened to her? It's like she knows, but she like can also see real life, so she'll like wander around and like see and like watch.
It sounds really fucking stupid.
Yeah, it kind of. Peter Jackson did it. So
thanks, King Kong.
So it's all visual in this world, but like the whole part was them trying to find, like the family dealing with her being missing, because obviously the father's like wrapped up, like trying to figure it out, like, oh, here, and he's like doing his own detective work and then like, giving to the police and stuff like that, like, okay, you need to stop. We're using all we can and stuff like that, and the family falls apart because he's obsessed, and the mother's like, just let her go, and blah, 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 and this, but like I said, it's, you don't dive into that as much because the girls just wander around in limbo the whole time and talking to this other people that are there. And, the end, like, the part that I liked the most was the ending and how creepy it was in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to ruin it for if people want to see it. But I gave the movie a 6.5.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't what I was hoping it was going to be. There's a lot more, like, if you watch the trailer and you see all the visual stuff, imagine that being a good third to a half of the movie.
And then, I don't even remember seeing trailers for it or anything. I remember you talking about it, like, oh, you had the book or something. I don't remember. I thought you had to read it for school.
No, that was something. That was other books.
That was the Bees. Some
yeah, Bees. Secret Life of Bees. That was that one. But yeah, I gave it 6.5.
6.5.
I did watch one more in there, but we don't have to. We can jump that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that 6 is higher than the next movie I watched.
Oh yeah, this is low.
I gave it a 5.
Oh, get it lower.
So I got it higher than you, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And this is Escape from Tomorrow.
Another movie I was so excited for.
I was, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. Because the trailer was really freaking creepy, and like you're watching, you're like, what the fuck is going on in the trailer and stuff. And then you're like, how could you watch a whole movie like that? I don't know if I could.
Yeah.
So this is like the movie itself is a tamed down version of the trailer.
Yeah. All the cool stuff in the trailer was like 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. But in case you don't know, Escape from Tomorrow is a movie that was secretly recorded at Disneyland.
Oh, that's just amazing.
The entire movie was filmed in the resort. And so it must have had like handheld cameras and stuff that all these tourists have. So it couldn't have, you know, walked around with boom mics and stuff because that would have been noticeable. But yeah, they taped the entire thing on their grounds. Like, yeah, even the resort. So they're in the hotel rooms or the resort rooms or whatever for parts of it too. But which makes me wonder if they set up a green screen because there was a couple scenes.
There's a couple. I'm sure they probably recorded some stuff off of offset.
Because some of the lines they were screaming, there's no way they could have got away with yelling that in the middle of a park and not get arrested.
Yeah.
So that stuff was obviously on green screen. But yeah, it was really fucked up because the whole movie took place in the park. And, like, weird stuff was happening.
Well, it's a family of, like, 4 people. A father, a wife, and then a daughter and a son.
Yeah. And they're on their trip, and the dad's, like, horny, and he keeps checking out all these women.
Well, the thing is, like, it seemed to have, like, potential, too, because, like, at the very beginning, like, he got laid off.
Yeah.
And you're like, so, like, oh, okay, maybe he's starting to have, like, yeah, he's horny. He's, like, seeing these, like, 2 teenage girls that are running around. Like, maybe he's having a midlife crisis type thing. So that's, like, what I was thinking.
Yeah. There was some weird stuff that happened there.
But yeah, then he starts like
it was one of those things that the concept is cool. It was weird, but not weird enough.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff just seemed like, I don't know. I think it was kind of.
And there was a lot. I mean, there's a lot of cool like symbolism type stuff, like the princesses and the witch and all that other stuff. I'm like, this is gonna go somewhere. And everything that we thought was gonna go somewhere, it never went.
There was a lot of potential.
Yeah, it's not that we didn't go where we thought it was gonna go. It didn't go anywhere after that point, pretty much.
Yeah, I felt like the movie itself didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, after it got done, we're like, wait, so what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, and the thing is...
It had one of those endings, you're like, huh?
Yeah, and it felt like it was one of those things where they weren't trying to make it seem like, huh? But the way the movie ended,
yeah.
It was like, okay, this is why this movie was like that. And, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, and there's, yeah.
But I gave it a 6.5.
What?
No, I gave it a 5. I gave it a 5 because I was kind of entertained, and I do like the concept that they got away with shooting an entire movie on the ground.
Yeah.
And they, like, I think the story behind the story is more exciting. Mm-hmm. So I feel like someone should make a documentary about this movie,
yeah.
And that would be way better That'd than be the cool. movie. That's why I gave it a 5 because I didn't hate it, but it could have been a whole lot better.
I gave it a 4.
Yeah.
Like I said, like you said, the whole idea behind it. But the thing is, I knew a bit more about it because they recorded stuff and they would go through rides numerous times so they could get good shots, and they would have to replace music because so you wouldn't hear It's a Small World After All and all that stuff.
All the copyright stuff was covered.
But the thing is, like, some of that stuff could have been edited a little bit tighter. It feels like a lot of the special effects or whatever weren't as good as it could have been. Mm-hmm. Because at one point when, like, there's a point where the boy wants to go on the Buzz Lightyear ride, and the line is way long. And then as soon as they're going through the line, the ride shuts down for, like, maintenance or something. Like, oh, sorry, we can't get on the ride anymore. And the father just turns around and is like, oh, god damn it, and swears or whatever. And he starts walking away. But in the background, you see, like, a real person waiting in line, just standing there and, like, looking at him, like, why is he leaving? Like, why is he getting mad? Because, like, because everyone's supposed to be, like, leaving the ride now, and everything like that. But in the camera, the guy's just, like, standing there, like, in line waiting, and he's like, oh, he just kind of notices the guy, like, just getting mad and turning around.
Right.
And, like, and the green screen was super obvious, and yeah, it just it felt like they were trying to put some symbolism in there, but they didn't know what they wanted to do with it. So the only
symbolism I could see was that Disney's evil.
Yeah.
That was very generic.
But the thing is, like, right at the very beginning of the movie, like, when they're riding through the Thunderhead Mountain or whatever it's called, the roller coaster thing, train thing, and someone's, like, head get, like, you just kind of see, like, oh, it looks like someone's head got knocked off.
Yeah.
And then nothing about the rest of the movie until, like, near the end when that one scientist guy's like, oh, you saw someone get decapitated on the ride, right? And the guy's like, huh? We did. What was with that? Nothing else. That's it. He just points it out, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like,
we just wanted that cool shot for the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, you saw that, right? Like, I saw it. The character didn't. I don't know. 4. Sorry. Anyways, the other movie I saw right before Tomorrow was Grizzly Man.
Oh, Escape from Tomorrow was the name of the
movie. Oh, yeah, Escape from Tomorrow.
I don't remember if I said that or not.
I think we did. But now we have it, for sure. I mean, like I said,
it is on Netflix, in case you are curious.
Yes. Which I heard that version is a little more tamed down.
Is it?
I heard something about, like, that one on Netflix was edited a little bit more, so, like, not as much stuff was in it or something. That's not a rumor I heard, so I don't know. But, movie I saw was Grizzly Man, which is a documentary about a guy who was sort of like the, I almost said Julia Child, whatever, the lady with the apes.
Julia Child was a chef.
You know, whatever. But this guy who loved grizzly bears, and he was always going around, like...
Was this the guy who made that giant suit?
No.
So you could get attacked with bears and survive?
No, that's a completely different documentary.
Oh.
This is a guy who was, like, a really, he loved nature, and he wanted people to know how, like, grizzly bears, how important they are. People shouldn't just hunt them. They're very intelligent creatures, and they have all these, like, habits. So he would go up to, like, I think Alaska or Canada, I forget. He went up north during the summer and stuff, and, like, would document these bears and all this other stuff, and get, like, he got some footage that was crazy. Like, he had some really close-up footage of two grizzly bears, like, just fighting each other, ripping each other apart. It was actually really cool, like, some really cool stuff. But, like, he'd been going up there for years. And the thing is, the last time he went up there, he ended up getting killed. And the documentary is kind of like all that stuff after that. And also spliced in all this footage of him doing these treks and stuff like that. And it would show, like, because he was doing that for like documentaries and stuff about bears, and you'd see who he actually was and all this other stuff. But at the same time, they'd jump back and forth with like people that were involved in his life and stuff like that. I heard it was a really good documentary, and a lot of people recommended it. It wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be. I mean, it was a cool story, cool little thing into like a person's life, but it was it had less to, well, I don't know, it was a lot less than I was expecting it to be. So I gave it a 6. Did I say 6? I wrote it down. Yeah, 6. So I mean, if you like documentaries and like grizzly bears and want to see, you know, there's no blood or anything inside, so don't worry. Although the best part, a bear, when they're fighting, the bear gets like so full of emotion, he shits during the fight. So that's kind of funny.
His poop is...
they're just like biting each other, like, and they claw each other, and then the bear just like they're like wrestling together, all of a sudden just fucking pooping. And he points it out too. He sticks his hand in poop at one point. It's weird.
Gross. My next movie I watched on my box set was Full Metal Jacket. Which is funny because if anyone has seen this movie, they know there's two distinct halves to this movie. And I apparently only saw half of the movie. So I finally got to see the second half, which is like, it's a continuation, but it feels like a completely different movie.
Yeah.
But in case people don't know, this is like Vietnam War. The first half of the movie is all boot camp and they're going through training and all that stuff. And then the second half is them on the battlefield and stuff.
I say, and the funny thing is, like, there's so many characters in that first half. I'm like, who's the main character of this movie?
Yeah.
You know?
You don't find out until the second half, really. Yeah. But yeah, it was, because the halfway point, it ends strong. Like,
yeah.
Like, it feels like it could have been the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, the next half starts, and it feels like the start of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that character, the main character, was from the first half, so like, yeah, it ties a lot together by the time you get to the end of the movie, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I'm not huge into war movies, but, I mean, the boot camp stuff was entertaining, because there's no way in hell I'd ever go through basic training and stuff, but...
it was cool to see, like, characters change, too, and that, like, where they're just all like goofing around, and then they mm-hmm. like you see them get more and more serious and helpful with each other and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
that was cool.
Yeah, and then yeah, the main character, I can't remember his name, but
Joker.
Yeah, Joker. That's it, Joker. Yeah, his character by the end of the movie is just like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's another Kubrick movie, so it's like really well made.
Yeah, I'll say most people didn't like the second half because the first half of the second half is just him being like, oh, I'm gonna take photographs for the newspaper and stuff like that for like the Vietnam mm-hmm. like stories and stuff. And like, so he's just walking around like going to different camps and.
But that's the, I mean, that was the most, I think that was the most like media coverage and stuff.
Yeah.
Any of the wars.
Yeah.
So there's like pictures and video and tons of crap mm-hmm. for that war, and it was like almost like a movie.
Well, I mean, the part that bothered me the most, like when I saw that one part, when there's the part that sticks out the most is. When he's at that one camp, he's like, hey, you want to see our friend? And like, he's just like a dead Vietnam person. He's like, hey, look at him, huh? I'm like, oh, God, fucking the whole Mirko. Like, look how good we are. Mm-hmm. It's like the whole,
Yeah. And yeah, I like that movie a lot. I gave it a 7.5.
Good one.
And then I got 4 more.
I have 4 more as well.
Okay. I'll go on my next one because it's out of my box set as well. All right. And I watched it on the same day. Driving Miss Daisy. That was a really good movie.
A black guy is driving a racist white woman around. That's all
she's
I know.
She's not racist.
Okay.
She's not racist. She's just stubborn. It was really good. I gave it an 8.
Okay.
But it's like the movie starts and she's, you know, she's getting up there in age and she's driving and she tries to shift it and then she like crashes the car. And her son, Dan Aykroyd, who I didn't even know was in this movie, he's a kind of a big part in it, too. he's like, we're not going to have you driving anymore because the insurance is going to go crazy expensive because mm-hmm. you're getting up there in age and we can't afford that and stuff. She's like, we can afford it. He's like, I'm not paying for it. So he hires a driver behind her back
uh-huh.
So when he shows up at the house, she's like, why is he here? He's going to drive you around. I don't need a driver. So she would just, like, take the bus and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, okay. So he would just sit at the house reading newspaper and stuff, and she's all stubborn. And at one point, she's like, I'm just going to walk to the store. And he just, like, follows her with the car and, like, just seeing how stubborn she is. And then, like, you know, slowly soften up and, you know, how close they end up getting toward the end of the film. And it was a really – it was – I think the movie was funnier than it was supposed to be because I was laughing quite a bit, and I don't know if it was supposed to be funny or I just get a kick out of, like, stubborn people getting their asses handed to them pretty much. But it was – I liked it a lot.
I'm sure the movie had, like, a lighthearted nature to it.
Right.
That made, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was – I liked it a lot. Yeah, it was so weird because I was like, Dan Aykroyd, what the heck? You know, Morgan Freeman is the driver.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the lady's name is that plays, but and
I was gonna
Daisy.
I was gonna guess Katherine Heigl. That's not right.
No,
Katherine was it Katherine Hepburn? Was it?
I don't know. But and then the movie. Another surprising thing about the movie was the span. Like this went like the movie started and all of a sudden like it just kept going farther and farther. Like the characters just kept getting older and older. Like physically, you could see them getting older.
Like, it was so makeup, like, though, right?
Right.
Okay, it's not like a 10-year-long movie.
No, they didn't take that long to make it. But no, it just surprised me on how far of a timeline they stretched this whole story. But, yeah, it went through in the Martin Luther King Jr. days and stuff like that. Okay. So it's like all this, like, black people are just like the rest of us. And
because
they weren't slaves, they were workers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Still, you know.
But there's the whole, like, yeah.
Segregation and stuff. Yeah. Stuff. So yeah, it was a really good movie. I liked it.
It was Jessica Tandy. She was from Fried Green Tomatoes, and
yeah, I recognized her, but I just didn't remember her name.
And Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, apparently, as the entire top three movies, that one and those two. Yeah.
So yeah, Driving Miss Daisy.
Eight. All right, now this next one I watched, and I heard people recommend it, and mainly a couple people recommend it that because I like horror movies, and I
was this the
yeah Orphan? This is Orphan. And I heard people joke and, like, spoil the ending for me because that's how ridiculous the movie was. And I'm like, okay, fuck it. I'll watch it just to see how bad it is. Surprisingly, I liked it a lot. I really did. And,
I'm trying to remember.
It's like a 2-hour long movie.
Elizabeth Banks in this one?
No. That was the, Uninvited.
Oh, okay.
Or was it?
Something Sister.
Something like that. Yeah. No. That was a remake of a Japanese movie. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, it was a Tale of Two Sisters or something with the original. But, anyways, no, this is with, Vera Farmiga from, the movie Dummy with Adrian Brody. And also she's on Bates Motel. Norma Bates.
The mom.
Yeah. And then, the father is, what's his nuts from Garden State
Green
Lantern.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. He's also in, that's someone else.
I don't know.
I know you're talking
about. The guy who played Zorlax or whatever.
No.
Triptoflex. I don't know. He has a name, too, like that I recognize when I see him. Like, oh, I recognize that name. Who is it? It's something. Yeah. But,
Snorlax.
Not Snorlax. It's a Zorlax.
No, now I'm drawing a blank because I can't
think of his name. The fear one, whatever.
Yeah, that's.
Anyways, so the movie is about those two, and then they have a son. And then a daughter who's like deaf. But what happened was when she was pregnant with her third kid and she had like something happened where the baby died. So she was like, they're not allowed to have kids anymore. So she wanted to adopt a kid and give it enough love for the baby that they lost. And it ends up being this girl who's this little Russian girl named Esther. And she, what was the word I'm trying to think of? Yeah, so she starts causing a little trouble, but like, you know, like a problem child type movie where she starts doing some things and people don't believe people who are noticing things, and she's fucking around and knocking over other kids and almost killing children, which is funny. she pushes one off a playground and breaks his leg. And like, okay, yeah, it's a problem child type thing. But the thing is, there's a lot of stuff, like I was saying with the Guardians of the Galaxy, this movie had so much background story with these characters that you felt like you knew them, mm-hmm. because, you know, like, and it's really hard to describe because, oh yeah, the mother used to have a drinking problem and all this stuff that you find out later, but, you know, it's not like she's like, oh, I still have a drinking problem, I'm a bad character, but she, like, because of a certain event type thing happened.
Hey everybody, Scott here. I had some issues with my files. Apparently when I was recording at one point, we lost it stopped recording for a little bit, so I guess it cut out more than I thought it did, so we'll pick up in a little bit. But when I was talking about Orphan, I guess the only thing I'll get to let you know is I gave it a 7.5 a score. It was pretty good. I talked more about other shit involved in the movie, but yeah, it's good. Check it out if you want to. Otherwise, we'll go to the next movie.
All right, the next movie I have I watched was Harold and Maude.
Harold and Kumar.
No.
No, Harold and Maude. Isn't that the one with, like, the Scottish people, Irish people, I mean?
No. Irish people.
Fucking shit.
Well, this is a movie I watched years. I started watching the first, like, maybe half hour, because in high school, one of our teachers, our history teacher, wasn't much of a history teacher. He would just play movies once in a while. We never finish them. But he started playing it, and I'm like, this is interesting. And then I always had the urge to watch it. And I saw it, so I picked it up and checked it out. But it's actually Bud Cort is the main character.
How did I get that confused?
Which is why I was excited, because rest of development. But it's about a kid who's, I want to say maybe like 17, 18, somewhere in there. And he's obsessed with death. So it's actually it's a pretty funny movie.
It's about death.
Well, it's like right away, like the intro of the movie, like he's walking around and like setting up this room while the intro credits are rolling and like the music and whatnot. And he just sets himself up on a chair with a noose and just hangs himself. And then his mother walks in and she's doing her own little thing and she looks up. She's like, Harold, don't forget you have to do this and this and this. And then she like walks out of the room because like he just pulls that shit all the time where he just pretends to kill himself. And he like just goes to funerals just to go to the funerals and stuff like that. And ends up buying like a hearse for his vehicle for like, cause he can drive around a car and stuff like that. Like, okay, he's obsessed with death and all this other stuff. And then he ends up at one of the funerals, he ends up seeing this other lady in the back who's watching the funeral too. And he's like, wait, I've seen her at this other funeral. So he starts talking to her and she's like an old lady. She's like 79, I think. And, she's obsessed with like, she just lives the moment. Like she mm-hmm. just lives in the moment. Mm-hmm. So he's like,
Fight Club.
Yeah, kind of. Sure. Yeah.
Where they're at the drug meeting instead.
So, Harold and Maude are like constantly hanging out and stuff like that. And she's always like, oh, let's just do this. And he's like, why? Aren't you worried about this? She's like, no, why should we worry about this? We're living our lives. We're doing whatever we want. And so it's kind of like, I wanted to loosely call it a love story because it's like
romantic black comedy is what they call it.
Yeah. It's, that works. But it's funny though, cause throughout the movie, his mom is trying to set Harold up with all these ladies. And, and he like always just fakes his death in front of him and they just freak out.
The movie poster.
His hangups are hilarious.
And he's like holding a like,
but yeah, it's a pretty cool movie. I don't want to obviously spoil the ending, but it's cool because like Harold learns a lot about life from her and some of that, and also their cool stuff. And he changes by the end, obviously, because that's how good movies go. The character goes through a great change. But no, I actually, this is the best movie I saw of the month. I gave it 8.5.
Wow.
I actually after I watched it, I'm like, I kind of want to watch this again. And so I'm like, I'm probably going to buy it soon. So yeah, I liked it a lot. 8.5.
Sweet. Yeah, the next movie I saw was Goodfellas, which I've never seen.
I didn't know that was in your box set.
Yeah, it is.
Sweet.
It's kind of crazy. I'm getting to the point where I'm like seeing a bunch of movies and I'm like, I didn't realize this was in my box set because it's like somewhat current.
Yeah. I'll have to borrow that from you.
Just like Driving Miss Daisy. I'm like, oh, that's in here. That makes sense. Goodfellas. Oh, yeah, that's in there. It makes sense. That's in there.
It's like, what, 92? Somewhere in there?
I thought it was 80 something.
Might be.
But,
90, yeah, probably.
Ray Liotta movie. I'm not huge into mafia stuff.
No, me either.
And gangster stuff. But this movie was entertaining. Like, it was kind of interesting to see because it starts. when he's like a little kid and how he got involved with this stuff and then like became pretty much a high up in their like gang, whatever you want to call it.
In the family. Yeah. I was going to say family, like that doesn't sound right.
And yeah, it has him and he meets his girl and, you know, like breaking the law and like how it, like it escalates where they just start doing like minor things and then they start like hitting people off, hitting them off. What is it called? Whacking them off.
Yep, that's
killing them. Just putting hits on people.
I think like as they start hitting them, like they're just walking on the sidewalk and go, "Hey, fuck you!" Punch and they run.
That game, the game that's going around.
Whack-a-mole?
No, there's a game. I forget the name of it.
Oh yeah, shit! That happened.
People are just walking down the street and they just freaking punch somebody. Yeah, randomly.
That was happening here in town. Like, yeah, some kids got busted. Like, yeah, they're like
just walking down Mason. Bam!
They punch them in the back of the head, so they just knock them out cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a hit 'em game.
Oh.
Not whack-a-mole. But yeah, Goodfellas. It was good, fellas.
Oh.
I don't know. It's like one of these days I feel like I should watch the Godfather movies.
That's on my list, so maybe when I watch all it.
Three of them?
I just have one. I heard the third one isn't good, but I have the first two upstairs, so.
But Goodfellas, obviously, the most famous thing. What do you mean, I'm funny?
Oh,
like a comedian or something, like a clown. Yeah, why am I funny? Tell me how I'm funny. It's got Goodfellas
feathers.
That movie, like, yeah, Joe Pesci might have done a good job, but I hated his character a lot. It was so annoying. Where he's just like constantly like, whack, man, just like yeah, he's not a high up in that family.
I'm not a huge fan.
I don't know why the rest of the crew didn't like why they put up with that shit. Get rid of them.
And the funny thing is about this movie, there's a part right in the middle.
Have you seen this?
No.
Oh.
But there's a part right in the middle, and I was over at John Egan's house, yeah. And we were getting ready to either record a podcast or watch a movie or something, and it was on TV.
Yeah.
But there's a part apparently that it's like very graphic, and so basically they're like walking with this one person. And then it cut to, they went to commercials, then it came back, and it was a completely different, like, part, because they had to skip. It's like, oh, now he's dead. But you didn't see anything about him getting killed, because it was, like, just bad. So, like, they just cut it out of the TV show, like, oh, by the way, this character's dead now. I'm like, when did that happen? Oh, they edited it for TV.
That's funny. Because the part I'm guessing is probably a pretty big part, because it's one of those at the very beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're like driving and they're like, do you hear that? We got a flat tire or something. And they're driving. And all of a sudden they realize that the dead body in the back is awake in the trunk. So they pull over and all of a sudden he goes, this is how it all started. But then it's only like the middle of the movie where that happens,
which
makes me happy because I hate it. It gets so annoying when the movie starts at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the whole story, but it doesn't. That's not how this one happens. It's like in the middle. So it's not as bad. But yeah, I gave it a 6.5.
Uh-huh.
Pretty decent. Especially since I'm not a huge fan of those kind of movies. It was entertaining. Yeah. Goodfellas. Oh yeah, that was my box set. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, yep. So that was the fourth movie in my box set for the month. So I'm on par.
That was 1990.
Oh, it was 90. Yeah, because for September.
All right, the next movie I watched was also my set of movies I had to watch. Lawrence of Arabia. Now.
Oh yeah, that long one.
Yeah. It's just a shade under 4 hours. And, and I knew nothing about it because I'm thinking, Lawrence of Arabia, it's one of those movies that I knew nothing about except for the name. And I'm thinking it's gonna be some sort of Aladdin type stuff. Like, you know, like old times riding camels, all sort of shit. And then I looked at the box, and it has an airplane on it. I'm like, why are there airplanes? Aladdin didn't have airplanes.
You're thinking of Alibaba.
Yeah, like Alibaba type stuff. No, it's a...
Wow, holy crap. I didn't realize how many movies I watched at the end of the month. Because when you watch that, I was watching Full Metal Jacket.
Uh-huh.
And the main guy, Joker, his name's Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Lawrence? What, like Lawrence of Arabia? They say that in that movie, and I was laughing because I was like, Scott's watching that movie right now.
Pretty good. Yeah, I didn't get to watch much at the end of the month.
But yeah, no, so
I had to catch up because I was like three movies behind.
I said
the last week I watched three of my four movies for the month.
Well, I'm saying like right now I think I'm at I'm like two movies ahead right now.
Okay.
According to where we are in time.
Yeah,
but Lawrence of Arabia, once again, long
Airplane.
once again, long movies, for some reason, like war movies and whenever it deals with like countries and invading things, I get so confused. Because
you forget who's on whose side.
I forget who's on whose side. But what happens in this movie is at the very beginning of the movie, Lawrence is riding a motorcycle. His name is Lawrence, which just feels weird because it feels like
call him Larry.
No, I know everyone's always calling Lawrence. I'm like,
I like the road. No, the town of Lawrence.
Yeah, well, there's a Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence Drive.
But yeah, he's riding his motorcycle and then he ends up crashing it, and then someone's like, oh yeah, he was a hero, and other person's like, oh no, he was a traitor, and then he goes into the whole story of what led him to glory, because he was just like a guy in the army who starts, and this is where I get really confused because I suck at history, and he's British, and he was going into Arabia, and he's fighting. It felt like he was, I didn't know, because everyone looked the same. Everyone looked like they had the same outfits. They're like, oh, we need to go here and invade these people. We need to go here and invade these people. And it's like, we shouldn't do that. It's dangerous. No, we should go here and invade these people. You'll get a lot of money. And like, oh, we didn't get any money. There's no money here. Oh, I know. But next time there will be. And it's like, and I didn't know whose side he was on. I don't know if he switched sides, or if he's pretending to be on both sides, or if there was only one side of all these characters. I don't know what's happening.
I can't answer because I didn't see the movie.
But for being a 4-hour movie, though, it didn't seem long. It actually went by pretty fast. The acting was pretty awesome. It was Peter O'Toole as Lawrence. And it had some pretty cool, like, fight scenes. I don't know if it's fight scenes, but, like, army type scenes. But, yeah, I got confused. I don't know. I feel stupid again. I'm going to have to look up clip notes. Because after a while, when you're sitting there watching a 4-hour movie, your mind does wander.
It just shows you, like, I don't know, just the way movies have come.
Yeah.
Like, you had to invest a lot more time into a movie back then. Like, now we're just dumbing down as a society. We're just like, here's a bunch of people fighting in the Spider-Man movie. Just, like, things exploding constantly, things flying everywhere. And it's like, that's going to keep your attention.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of two people talking for an entire movie.
Yeah, it's true. But, like, I mean, it was like one of those movies where, like, the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting this. And then once it was over, I'm like, what was this about? Like, I mean, I know it's during the war, the World War and stuff like that, and they're, like, they're trying to...
What was the main plot?
Yeah, like, I don't... It was basically him just going across the desert and helping these troops of people fight, and then trying to avoid from being slaughtered, because obviously people out there in Arabia are like, oh, we ride camels and we have these tents. And then the bad guy or the opposing side is like, hey, we have airplanes that can shoot the shit out of people. You guys are getting your asses kicked. He's like, I'll help you try to, you know, survive and all this stuff. That so some people consider him like a hero because he did all these great things for the country. But at the same time, he backstabbed because he was stealing from.
But there wasn't any camels with machine guns.
No camels with machine guns.
So this wasn't Metal Slug.
It was not Metal Slug at all. It was not. But, you know, we can't always hope. we were joking about that, how it'd be great if, like, all these, like, because we don't know a lot of old movies. Imagine if, like, we just saw, like, oh, yeah, Lawrence of Arabia, and there's just, like, machine gun fighting and, like, ninjas and all this crazy shit we just don't know about.
Because we never saw the movie.
Yeah.
And no one mentioned that movie was full of ninjas.
Yeah. But I gave it a 6.5.
That's not too bad.
So
that's what I gave Goodfellas.
All right.
And then I'm playing catch up this month of August because I started watching some of the movies that was recommended.
Yes.
Submarine.
Uh-huh.
Because you watched that one.
I did.
Right? I don't remember what you said about it.
I'm going to see what I gave it a score for.
Okay.
So go ahead.
But it was an entertaining movie. I liked it. Like, I don't know, the awkward adolescence, you know, growing up and trying to go for the girl that you want. And all that, like,
and just dealing with like the family stuff of like the family not working and trying to get, yeah.
Yeah, it like, was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I liked it because it's similar but different to every other movie like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because I think it was more realistic and it's, because I think it's New Zealand or something. No, Wales.
Yeah, Wales.
It was in Wales. So it's kind of interesting to see how they, you know, like, stuff that we grew up with, you know, growing up trying to fit in as a kid, how different it is in other countries and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I don't know. But yeah, I liked it. That main actor, that kid was really
good.
Yeah,
he was really good.
And apparently he's got, like, he got cast in some show that's coming out this fall.
Okay.
So, and it's like, I was like, oh, it's, they're like, this thing, and it said the kid's name. I don't remember what the actor's name is, but it's like, From Submarine. I'm like, oh, so it's a pretty popular movie if they, I don't know. But Brian told us to watch it, and I checked it out, and I finally got to see it.
He told us to watch that in February.
And I watched it in August.
I didn't watch it until the very beginning of March.
But. Yeah. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I gave it a 7.
Me too.
Awesome. Like I said, I don't remember what you gave it. And then I watched Love, which Brian also recommended. And he said that, he's like, did you see this? Because like Angels and Airwaves did the entire soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Movie. Yeah. And then after I watched it, it was one of those weird movies where they had the whole movie and then they say the title at the end.
Oh.
So, but it said like Angels and Airwaves presents Love.
Hmm.
So it's like, and Angels and Airwaves made this movie, which kind of makes sense because it felt like, like, if you listen to Angels and Airwaves.
Yeah. They have a...
Like, the background music. Imagine that for a whole movie. And that's kind of what the soundtrack was.
And even watching the music videos.
And then at the very end, like, you know, they would have lyrics come in every once in a while. But it was... But the movie... Like, it's kind of weird because the movie's called Love.
Yeah.
But it's a space movie. It's about a guy who's alone in space.
Sorry, I was just looking up IMDb. It was funded completely independently by the band.
Yeah.
So
the whole movie is about this guy in space by himself, how much he misses his family and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's isolated. And then, like, he loses communication with Earth and he can't talk to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's just out there and he's like, I don't, you know, it's
like a Major Tom situation.
Yeah. But he's like in a spaceship, and I thought Major Tom was like.
No, he's in his rocket. He just
goes out. I thought he was outside of his rocket.
Oh, maybe.
I was imagining him just floating, you know, by himself in space, not inside anything, just in a suit flying off.
I never thought of it that way. I always thought he was in his rocket and he just like
I don't know.
Keeps going.
But the movie itself had a lot of emotion and stuff, and. It was good. It just felt a bit long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could kind of understand what's going on, but it wasn't until, like, the last half hour that everything started happening.
Okay.
So it's like, it would have been an amazing short film, but as an actual, I think it was like an hour and a half or something like that, maybe 2 hours. I don't remember. I should look it up. But I felt like it was a little too long. Oh, 124. Okay, so it was like almost an hour and a half. But it felt a lot longer than that.
You say 124?
Yeah.
That's 2 hours.
No, hour 24.
Oh. I'm like, it's almost an hour and a half. I'm like, no.
Not 1.24.
Yeah.
Or 124 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I gave that one a 5.5 because it was entertaining, but it didn't keep me entertained.
Mm-hmm.
The ending was really cool. I liked that. The ending was really cool.
And I'm gonna have to watch that too, because.
But yeah, it was good. It was above average, but just slightly above.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch that because by the time I got recommended and got the movie to you, I didn't watch any more movies after that for this month.
Yeah, because I'm like, I watched it. I can give it to you.
I'm like,
you
wanna... oh,
because I knew you're doing stuff in your room, but you just listen to podcasts that
time. I was, yeah.
And
the last movie that I had for the month was Tootsie. Another movie. This is another movie on my list. Now, I knew nothing of this movie except for
it's
Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
That's all I know.
Dustin Hoffman, wearing women's clothes, and the cover shows him in front of an American flag. So
she's running for Senate or something?
My thought was that he was pretending to be a woman for like a USO type thing. I could see that. That's what I thought. Way off. Not really, but kind of. Dustin Hoffman he's an actor, and he teaches like acting classes and stuff like that. And he's having problems because he's not getting jobs because his agent is saying, well, you're too hard to work with. People don't like you because you're too hard to work with. He's like, well, I'm doing this because the character wouldn't do this and stuff like that. He's really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, no one's going to hire you. I can't get anyone to hire you because you're too hard to work with. So he's like, all right, fine. I'll prove you wrong. He dresses up as a woman and goes tries out for a soap opera, gets the job, but then he has to pretend to be a woman to be on that show. So the whole time it's a whole like situation where he's just like, oh, I'm a woman. And then he falls in love with the main nurses that are women. Yeah, one female nurse that's like on the show. And he falls in love with her, and he's like, he can't show her because obviously it'd be a fraud and all that stuff. And but the funny thing is, Bill Murray's in the movie as Dustin Hoffman's roommate, like apartment roommate. So it's like he's just there, like maybe you shouldn't do this, and he's kind of being like the roommate type character, like a secondary character. But he was actually pretty awesome in the movie. And but the thing is, like in Dustin Hoffman's character, he's an actor and he knows a lot about acting and all this other stuff, that he just. Like and soap operas, like they record them so fast and like they do like only a few takes, or they do it live if something's wrong. So he would just improvise his own line sometimes and like just change shit up, and his character ends up being the best, like one of the best characters on the show. And they end up like bringing the character in for more and more things. Oh, and he's Jesus. Like, I can't keep this up. I mean, it was actually a pretty good movie. I gave it a 7.5. Yeah, 7.5. It was a funny movie. Dustin Hoffman, Bill Murray, and,
I guess I didn't know Bill Murray was in
there. Yeah, I didn't know that either. And
like Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. Exactly. Stacey. Yeah, and then I can't remember who the female part was, but I mean, there's a couple of actors in the movie too that. He was the lawyer in, Rain Man. Oh, Jessica Lange was in it too. Jessica Lange, yeah, she was the one of the characters, yeah. Because at the time too, like he also had this girl that he was friends with that she actually was trying out for the part and she didn't get it, so like he tried out for the part and then so his friend is like, oh, I hate her so much, she's not even a good actor, and he's like, I can't say anything, but yeah, that was a good movie, 7.5,
sweet.
A few things before we wrap this up, I was. Talking with our friend Craig, and he is saying how much he loves this podcast, and he's like, I got a whole bunch of movies you guys I should recommend to you. And he only recommended one, which I watched.
So that envelope? No. I thought it was a whole list.
No.
He mailed to us.
No, he's like, did you ever watch World's Greatest Dad, which I saw in May?
Yeah.
So he didn't listen to that episode apparently, Craig. But no, I'm hearing people that they like listening to this, and He actually, one of his comments was he's very surprised on how many movies we have not seen.
Yeah, there's I watch a lot of movies, but I don't watch a lot of popular movies.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I love this box set, is because most of these I have not seen.
Yeah. There's movies I would never watch, and I might get it in the sevens and eights. Like, there's a list of movies I want to buy because of this card deck is making me watch them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you have any requests, want us to watch any certain movies or have any opinions on movies we reviewed or anything, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. That's stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Yeah, just email us if you want us to watch any movies, and we'll try to get them in that month or at least at least this year. But I think that's about it. So
yeah.
That's
a wrap.
That's a wrap.